It's great to be here and fill in for Heath, just for the fact that he gets to go on vacation and have some time. And, you know, he needs that so much. He does so much. We're so thankful. I thought for a minute there that Eric was going to be preaching because he was going and going, and I was like, yeah, go preach it, brother. So I thought maybe he was going to be. But and then we also, Thursday night, we had youth group, and afterwards, my wife says to Pat, she goes, well, are you preaching, Pat? And Pat's like, what? No, I'm not preaching. And it's like, in the conversation. So then, ever since then, we've been teasing him about, Pat, what's your sermon going to be about? And he's like, well, I'm not preaching, no. But he says, always be ready. We're always ready, so. But I'm thankful. I'm glad he's having a great time. And I was tempted to send him a text and say, can you believe the Seahawks lost? Probably shouldn't do that. Kind of blow for him a little bit, but yeah, I'm just thankful that I can help fill in and help him out and give him a break, and I'm glad. And, you know, I'm kind of a cheerleader, so to speak. Not necessarily a cheerleader, but I was thinking about it, you know. He says, you're an encourager, and I like that. My wife's the same way, and we like being that and try to encourage people and stuff. And I was thinking about, you know, I don't want to be the star football player that everybody's looking at. I want to be the cheerleader on the sideline, cheering people on. And that's what it's about, you know, encouraging one another. Then I thought about it, the game. So, no, not a cheerleader. I want to be one of the guys that's holding up the cheerleaders when they stand on their shoulders or whatever it is, and just be sweating it out, but doing it for Jesus. Because you know what? Jesus is holding me up on his shoulders. And so that's more of what I want to be. That's what I want to be like. And so I've been talking a lot of you probably know, about the deceived and being deceived and the deception. So I want to talk on that a little bit this morning. And I'm going to start, of course, in Genesis. In the garden was the first deception, so to speak. And we'll take a look at that in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. But as I was reading through that, we were talking about it in a little bit. And some of the, I'm not going to give you answers, but I'm going to give you some questions as you think about it. Some of the things that I thought about as I read through it. And I think I'll just read through it first, and then I'll give you some of my thoughts that came, because I process different. He processes different. Eric and Pat, we're all different. But it's great because we all come together from different points of view, and we help each other in that way. And it's the same in a marriage. You know, my wife, she's completely different than I am. And I'm thankful for that, because we don't need two of me, that's for sure. So I'm really glad, but we help each other in that area. You know, she encourages me in different areas. And that's the way the body is. And that's why it's so important that we be part of a body plugged in. And I say it all the time. You guys know, I get up here, I'm all about going to church and being plugged in and being part of the body, because it is so important. And we just love it to death. We love being here. It's a great place to be. And so we're excited about that. But the title, one of the titles, they're different things, but my thought line on it was the deceived to not believe. And I think as we look in our world today, and we'll get into that a little more with as we get into some of these scriptures, but there's so much deception going on in the world. And I think it's something that we need to be looking at and thinking about. And that's kind of what I want to do today. I want to encourage you to be thinking and being aware. You know, they talk about the battle. What's a big, you know, you need to know what the battle looks like in order to prepare for it and to be able to go out and fight. And so hopefully this will give you a little insight or some thoughts to think about when it comes to end times and this great deception that we're going to talk a little bit about. But let's get started. Genesis 3, 1 through 6, you all know it, and the fall, of course, starting with verse 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened." So there's a lot here, and there's a lot of different things we can look at and talk about. And I'll share with a few things that came to my mind. And one of the things is, when I first started reading this, and I don't know if I never really thought much about it, but I want us to think more about not who the devil is, the serpent, who he is, as much as what he's doing and what he's trying to do in our world and in our lives. Because like I say, you know, when we're aware of the battle that we're fighting, we can be better equipped. And we'll get into what that kind of looks like as we go through this. But as I'm reading this, I'm looking at it, it says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field." And I thought about the serpent was a beast of the field. So, and like I said, these are not my focus points, so I'm just going to touch on. And you guys can look these things up, and you can think about it, and you can search the scriptures for that. He's a beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And I look it up and go, wait, he's a serpent, right? He's a snake. But when you look at it, the snake, the serpent, is after the fall. It's after the curse. God cursed. So some of you, you know, you can look into yourself and see if did the serpent walk? Did he have four legs, two legs, upright? I don't know. It doesn't really say that so much, but it's fun. I think these things, and so I just want to share them with you. You guys can look it up and think about it and see what God speaks to your heart and find the answer. Let me know. You know, I don't know. I'm learning just like everybody else, so that's great that we can learn together. So, he said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" Okay, so the next thing I thought of was like, okay, so we don't really know what the serpent looked like before the curse, but here we have him talking to Eve. And so I'm thinking, wait a minute, this guy's talking to Eve. So obviously he can talk, I guess. You know, this is the way my mind works. He can talk, he's talking to Eve, and they're having a conversation. So I'm thinking, well, is that something they did all the time? Is this something new, or, you know, or is that a red flag? I mean, you know, the serpent's talking to me. So just stuff like that. So you can look that up. I'm not going to give you the answer, because I'm more focused on the deception than anything else. But that's the way my mind works. I'm always questioning things. Well, what does that look like? Did all the animals talk? I don't know. I mean, probably not, but probably just Satan and the serpent. But anyway, you guys can look that up anyway. And that's your homework, okay, by the way. So And he said, the woman said to the serpent, you may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So here's the deception. Here's what I'm more focused on than anything else, is that in verse 3, God said, okay? And in verse 4, but the serpent said. And, you know, we can apply that to our lives, too, of, you know, our daily life. We deal with trial and tribulation, all these things. But my focus is that the serpent is there to deceive. And he's there to deceive us, too. And we need to be aware of that. This is about deception. But what is the answer? God said. It always goes back. What did God say? And if Eve and Adam would have stood on the truth of God's word, or God speaking what God said, the fall would have never happened. But we know they didn't. And ultimately, we know God is sovereign. God allowed these things for his purposes, for his will to be done. And a lot of this stuff we don't fully understand, but we seek to understand, because the way I look at it, I seek to know God better, to know him personally. And I do that through his word, the truth. God said. And that's what we have to remember. What did God say? And Eve and Adam evidently forgot what God said, or they're enticed like we are. Like James says, that, you know, each man is enticed and drawn away by his own lust. You know what sin is. God doesn't tempt us. It's not God. It's our own lust that tempts us, and we're drawn away by it. And here it says that, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise. She took his fruit and ate, and also gave it to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. So we see the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these are like the main sin categories that we trust. It was pleasing to her eyes was the first thing. It was good for food, and it was a desire to make one wise. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And these are the things that Satan comes to us with too. The same kind of thing. Oh, yeah, look at this. Or, you know, I desire for this. And it goes back in what we want to get is that how do we fight the enemy? And that's, we fight by standing on the truth of God's word. And if that's what Eve would have done here and stood on what God said, no, but God said, the serpent said, but God said, and that's what we need to know. We need to know the truth. And especially nowadays, and I'll get more into that as we go along. And it's kind of, Satan is so crafty that you don't be deceived into thinking you're any match for him, because we're not. He is so good at what he does. And we'll talk a little more for that. But it says, because he even uses, you know, like half-truths to try to deceive us. And that's why we need to know the truth. God said this, you will surely die. And the serpent goes, your eyes will be opened. And it's true, their eyes were opened. So it was kind of a half-truth. But he said that you will not die. And that was a lie. And that's where they should have called him out on it. Hey, wait a minute. No, God said this. And again, fast forward to us, that's what we need to do. We need to know and study God's word so that we can come back at the enemy. No, God said this. The Bible says this. This is the truth. And I'm standing on the truth of God's word. And just a little side note, in Revelation 12:9 says that the great dragon, you know, we're talking about the serpent, the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the deceiver, because that's what he does. It's not about, you know, tempting us to do bad things or things like that. We have a tendency to have the little devil on your shoulder, the angel on the other one type of thing. But no, he's way more craftier than that. He is so crafty. He is deceiving us and we don't even know it. And that's why we have to get in to God's word and stand on the truth. Otherwise, as you'll see as we go further, that it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. And, you know, this is the rally cry that we need today. We need to get into God's word and study and know it so that we're not deceived. Because you'll see here in a minute what I'm talking about. Okay, it says in Genesis 3:13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. He deceived me. And I'm telling you that as I went through this and thought about it and prayed about it, and just, you know, Lord God, help us. Help us to not be deceived. And, of course, we have to do our part. And our part is the word of God. So I'm the cheerleader. I'm up here. I'm telling you, man, guys, let's get into God's word and study so that we are not deceived. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, but I'm afraid that the serpent deceived you, Eve, by his cunning. Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere, pure devotion to Christ. And a cunning is having or showing a skill, achieving one's ends by deceit or evasion. So, you know, it's just defining what the battle looks like and what we're fighting against, this deception, and what we need to do about it, how we can do that, and getting into God's word, the truth. It says, by his cunning, your thoughts were led astray, deceiving, leading you astray. And you know what? It don't take much to deviate from the truth, just a little bit. And as you go, and you go, and you're farther and farther away. And that's, it's so the way it works. There was a song, I can't remember what it is, called Slow Fade. It's a slow fade when Satan deceives us and we're not being on guard. Be sober, be vigilant. The devil, your adversary. We have a very real adversary who is trying to deceive us in any way, shape, or form he can, so that we don't believe and trust God. We'll talk a little bit about that. Romans 7:11, for sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. And the law, what does the law do? The law is good. It's not bad. It's great. Christ fulfilled the law. And through Christ, we're not under the law, so we're not judged by the law. So that's the good news of the gospel. But, you know, to us, to those, and back in the Judaizers, oh, no, you got to go back to the law. No, the law brings death because we can't live under the law. If we're trying to get in by our own righteousness, it's not going to happen. We need Christ's righteousness. And that's the only way we're going to be able to stand when we stand before the Lord. And so, we need to be aware of that. And my righteousness, like Paul says, is filthy rags. And man, I totally agree. Like again, he says that I'm the chief of all sinners. Don't we know? I mean, and that's part of the deception. The Judaizers and they were thinking, no, we need to fulfill the law too. It's Jesus and works. And we see that today in our world in a lot of the churches. Jesus plus the works. And it's like, no, don't be deceived by that. It's not. It's only through God's Son can man be saved. Through His righteousness, not a righteousness of our own. And so we don't want to be deceived. And that's what I want to hopefully bring out for you to see, that we need to be on guard when it comes to this. Fast forward a little bit to Matthew 24, Jesus talking. And, you know, end times. We talk a lot about that. A lot of the church is talking about end times and what we're going through and what that's going to look like. And, you know, there's so much we don't know. And I always tell my wife, she said, we can't focus on what we don't know. We have to stand on what we do know. What is the truth? And that's what's important. Yeah, we look into these things and, you know, we study these things to understand. But ultimately, it's to understand God, who God is. Because it's about God. It's not about me and me doing this or that. It's about God and me understanding who He is and what He means to me. And so, let's look at what Jesus has to say in Matthew 24, starting with verse 4 through 6. Jesus answered him, "See that no one leads you astray." So here's a warning, and there's plenty of warnings in the Bible, right? So we need to be aware. We need to heed these warnings, especially in the times that we live in. We believe that, you know, we are living in end times, and we are seeing these things happen. And again, as I look at it, and I've said this before, you probably heard me many times, but I think that, you know, evil's always been around since Cain and Abel, and we see that. But I think that one of the things that we really see that talks about end times so much is that deception. The deception that's out there. So many people, I mean, deceived in a big way, not little things or little. And Satan uses it all, trust me. He's going to use any and everything he can, even to the point of little distractions. If he can just distract us from what we should be doing. And I know in my life, I don't do it all right by any stretch. And I'm preaching to myself more than anything else because I'm the first one. And being a good steward of my time, I struggle with that. I get distracted. I mean, I'll start in one room in the house and end up in another room doing something else. It's so easy to be distracted. And I know that's a little bit different. But there is this distraction that keeps us from dwelling on God and the truth of God's Word. And that's all he's got to do, just keep us away from that and distract us. And that leads us astray. And again, like I say, eventually, before you know it, you're to a place that you're saying, "What? How did I get here? I mean, what happened? What?" And it's that slow fade, just to deviate a little bit. And then you have churches that are preaching what they're preaching, these things that are false doctrines. You have cults that a lot of times started out with some truth, but ended up being deceived, being led astray. And we have to be on guard at all times. I say one of my favorite verses, be sober, be vigilant. We have to be that today, especially in these days that we live in. These end times, if you will. But Jesus said, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray." So these false prophets, antichrist, are coming, and we need to be aware of that, because there's churches today that are preaching and teaching this stuff, and it sounds good on the surface, but when you dig into it, they're saying, oh yeah, here is the Christ. One religion say, you know, they're Christian, they say, but no, they don't believe in the Christ, in the Jesus of the Bible, the true Son of God. And they teach a different doctrine. And we need to be on guard and aware of those things that are going to come, because it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And it's going to get worse. And it's, when it gets worse, it gets harder. And so we need to press into Jesus more and more and more as the days get more evil. And so Jesus is warning, hey guys, I'm telling you, it's coming. And there's people are going to come and claim to be, you know, Jesus, and tell you these things, and they're going to lead you astray. And so we need to really dig in and make sure that we're not led astray, like Jesus is talking about here. Verse 9 says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. You know what? I hope that's me. I hope I'm hated by all the nations for Jesus' sake. That's what I want. There's one verse we read in men's Bible study, and it was like, man, that's great. And I can't remember what it was. I didn't get a chance to look it up. But it was like the disciples, they were scourged and sent out and told, you know, don't preach that stuff again. Don't do that. And they came in and they said, man, we got to get beat for Jesus. And it's like, man, that's the attitude I want to have. You know, if I'm going to get beat, I want to get beat for Jesus. I want to do it for the right reason. So, you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And that's who we have to be. We're the true church, the body of Christ. We want to be hated, but we want to be hated for the right reason. For Jesus' sake. That's what we want to be. He says in verse 10, and then many will fall away. Many are going to fall away. You know, how many? How many? Those who are not seeking the truth, God's word, and seeking God's face. That's who I want to be. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And it's so relevant for us today, the world we live in. I mean, it's going on all around us. We see Jesus talking about this, and we're watching it happen right in front of us. We're seeing this unfold in our daily lives, on the news, on TV, and all this stuff. It's like, man, we got to really dig in. And in the end, I'm going to read Hebrews, because it just kind of sums it all up. But he says, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Well, we certainly see that going on in our world today. It's really prevalent. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. So many are going to grow cold. I don't want that to be me. I don't want my love to grow cold. I want to keep my love for Jesus just stoked up like a fire. Just keep throwing the wood on it. Keep it going. Keep it burning. Because that's what's going to get me through. That's what's going to help me endure to the end. That's what it is. But ultimately, we're going to see what that really means. And 1 John 5:4, and this is what I believe is really what, you know, we need to hold on as true believers, to not be deceived. And he says, you know, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. 1 John 5:4. You guys probably know it. And for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. There it is, our faith. 1 John 5:5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And this is it right here. These are the essential Christian doctrine that we have to stand firm on and not be deceived. You know, we can debate things like the millennial kingdom we're going to be talking about and in Sunday school we're starting. There's all these things that, you know, we're not really quite sure, but there's also essential Christian doctrine that we have to stand on. This is the truth of God's word. I need to know this. I need to stand on this. This is what it is. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. Man, that's great. That is awesome stuff. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's what you believe. We're believers. We're not doers. We're believers of the Word of God. We believe in Jesus. And we're standing on that truth. And we need to stand today more than ever. Let me tell you. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes, there it is, that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you standing on that truth? I am, and I'm going to go out that way. And I'm telling you, and we're going to get into that a little bit, that people are being deceived about this very thing. They're not standing on the truth. It's our faith. It's what we believe. What do you believe? Do you believe God's word? Do you believe the truth? Is your faith genuine? Is it real? And are you standing on that? It's not me. It's my faith. And who's the author and finisher of our faith? Jesus. I don't even get credit for it. But I'm fine with that. I'm good. I'm good. I'm all about Jesus. God's my favorite subject. And it's great. And that's the way it needs to be, especially in these days that we're coming into. So remember this. Who is the one? In Revelation says, to him who overcomes. How many times does it say that? To him who overcomes. To him who is he that overcomes the world? He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And that's what we're talking about. Deceived to not believe, because the enemy is after our faith. That's what he doesn't want you to believe. He's out to get you, to deceive you, to not believe. Oh, I believe in Jesus. He's a good man. He was a prophet. No, no, no. That's the deception. We need to be on guard. Jesus goes on in 22 and says, and here's the thing, what we need to be aware of in this day is that if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Wow, what is that saying? It's saying that there's a deception that's coming and may already be here, that our people are, we see a great deception. We see it happening right in front of us. We see people, men claiming to be a woman and vice versa. And we see all these things, how people are deceived. And, you know, we're watching it happen right in front of us. And the Bible says, and it goes on, he says, then if anyone says, look, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it. Because false Christs are going to come in to draw us away. Because that's what Satan does. He's trying to draw you and me away from the truth. And we need to be aware of that. That's what he's doing. And it's going to be a great deception. So great that we don't even understand. I don't know what that looks like. But I know it's coming. And like I said, may already be here in the inception of it, the beginning of it. I don't know. I don't know. But I know it's coming, and I don't want to be deceived. So I'm going to stand on the Word of God, the truth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And that's what we need to do. Okay, he says, and do not believe it, for false Christs and false prophets will arise. And here's the thing, something new, I think anyway, False prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray. Great signs and wonders. So here's my thinking again. I'm thinking, man, great signs and wonders. What am I going to do? Am I going to stand on the Bible? Or am I going to believe these great signs and wonders that I'm seeing right in front of my face? I can just hear people say, you don't believe that? You can see it. It's right in front of you. Don't you see it? You can. And I don't know. I don't know. But I know that I need to be prepared and I need to be ready for that.
Yeah.
So that I'm not deceived. I'm not going to buy into. No, 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 no. This is the devil. He's trying to get at our faith and get us to not believe and stand on the truth of Jesus. So great signs and wonders are going to come to lead us astray. Man, I tell you, the devil is out there and his time is short. He knows it better than anybody else. His time is short and he wants to lead us astray from the truth. And it says, great sign and wonder as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. That's us. That's you and me. That if possible, his deception is so great that if possible, even the elect might be deceived. Man, I tell you, that's kind of, wow, that's eye-opening. We need to be aware that it's coming. And we may see it, and again, like you say, we may already be seeing it in our world today. I don't know about the signs and wonders, and I don't know what that looks like. Is it going to be, you know, Revelation talks about signs and wonders that we're going to see the Antichrist. And man, I'm telling you, is this what we're talking about? Are we going to see things that are like, whoa, I'm kind of, wow, that's pretty crazy what I'm looking at here. But Jesus, I know that I'm standing on the Word of God, the truth, because I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, when you get to the point of your faith that you are committed, that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is the answer. No matter what I see with my own eyes, I'm not going to buy it if it contradicts the Word of God. And I'm saying that I think we need to be prepared for these things. Are we looking ahead and saying, what if this stuff, what am I going to do? I used to tell my kids, I said, I don't care if a UFO lands in my front yard. I'm going with Jesus, okay? That's what I'm, you know, but I know Jesus. That's what I do know. And that's what I'm standing on. So, and it says, if they say to you, look, he's in the wilderness, do not go out. Do not go out. If they say, look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. This is our faith. Our faith, what we believe. And so, he says, you know, don't believe it. Don't believe when you see these false prophets, these antichrists come in. It's not God. It's not from God. It's the enemy, the serpent. What did it say in Genesis? God said, you will die. What did the serpent say? You won't die. And you know what? He's telling us the same lie today. The exact same lie. You won't die. God won't send you to hell. God wouldn't do that. No. Read the Bible. What does the Bible say? What is the truth? And we need to be aware of that. And so I just want to be up here and encourage you to run that race like Paul. And we can do this together and we can encourage one another. He says in Revelation 27 and 8, and when the 1,000 years ended, Satan will be released. We talked a little about this in Sunday school. Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth. Satan's going to be loosed again after the millennial reign. And what does he do? What is the first thing he does? He goes out to deceive the nations. That's what he does. That's who he is. Don't believe anything else. He's a deceiver of the brethren. And he's out there trying to deceive you and me into anything. He don't care what it is, as long as he can get you to believe something other than the truth of God's word. And that's where we have to be on guard. That's what we have to watch out for. So, Romans 16:8, there's a couple other scriptures, you know, you can look into and look it up for yourself, but and you can look up deceive, and it gives you a whole bunch of verses. There's a lot, obviously a lot more to this than what I've just barely touched on. But, you know, I just want to encourage you and myself that to really be on guard and really press into God. You know, it's like if you're pressing into God, you're not giving into the world, right? So that's what we want to do. We want to press into God. And I love that. Oswald Chambers. For such person, Romans 16:18, do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. They deceive. Here's that deception. Here's Satan again, showing up, deceiving people. The deception is going to be so great in the end times. If we're living in end times, which it certainly does look that way, it's going to get worse.
Yep.
It's going to get harder and harder and harder. And we have to. You know, I can't say it enough. I know I'm, you know, beating that gong, but man, we have to be on guard and we have to press into the Lord. And you know, we have to stand on the truth of God's word. You can't stand on it if you don't know it. Yeah. You don't know it if you don't read it. So I want to encourage you to do that, to get into God's word and read it and stand on the truth and say, no, I will not be deceived because God said this. Don't be like Eve and listen to the devil who's trying to draw you away and deceive you. No, God said this, and I'm going to stand on the word of God, what God says. And then, finally, well, let me just interject, and then I'll close here. But the lie is that, and I'll just throw this in there because I really like this, and I think I preached on it one time too. The lie is that your behavior tells you what to believe about yourself. The truth is your belief. There's that word, belief. Belief about yourself determines your behavior. You see, what we do, our actions, we're not justified by our actions. We're justified by what we believe. And what we believe determines what our actions are. What you believe out of the abundance of the heart. What does he say? Well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of you is what is in you. What your faith is, what you believe is going to bring you to church. It's going to cause you to pray. It's going to draw you to God, to the Bible. What you believe. This is a faith-based religion. It's all about what we believe. And how do we know it more than what Satan is after our faith? Why is he after our faith? Because he knows that's the one thing that we hold on to that he can't touch. He can try to deceive us and draw us away. But our faith is authored by God. And that's the great news of God. It's so great that he chose me. He chose you. And we belong to him. And we can stand on that truth. And we're not going to be deceived, because those days are going to be short, but we need to prepare. And that's what I want to leave you guys with. Finally, he says in Hebrews 10:19-25, he says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There it is, the faith, what we believe. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast. Here it is. This is what we're going to be called out on. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Man, we got to stand. And you know what you do after you stand? You stand. Yeah. That's what you do. And that's what we're called to do as believers. And he says, and here it is, let us consider how to stir up one another. Stir up one another to love and good works. Is that what we're doing? Are we stirring up one another to love and good works? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Man, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. I want to stir you up to good works. We can do this together. That's what the body is all about. Coming together and encouraging one and loving each other, praying for each other. Man, that's priceless. You can't beat that. He says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage my own self, my own faith, to grow each and every day and draw closer to you, God. This is about you, God, and this is about our faith. And this is what's being assaulted, God. We have to be on guard. We have to press into you, God. Help us to do that. Help us to be sober and vigilant and always be watching and be aware of our surroundings and our world and all the things that are going on. That the enemy is very real and out there to deceive us to not believe. Praise your holy name. Thank you so much, Father. We love you. We praise you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.